Hey everybody, welcome back to church. I am so glad that you were able to join us today. Welcome to High Ridge Longview. My name is Tim Ingram. I'm the pastor here along with my wife and some of my friends, even my daughter joining us today. We just want to say, hey, welcome. Welcome to church online. For those of you that are not able to go to your home church or you're not able to even come for whatever reason that it may be, we just want to say thank you for tuning in today. I believe that God has something powerful in store for you as you're watching this from wherever you are. Open up your heart, open up your mind to God's word and believe that God is going to speak right into your situation and meet you where you are. So I want to thank you personally as we're turning over to 2 Peter chapter 3. That's where we're going to spend just all of our time today, 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to thank you personally for those of you that have chosen to support us financially. It means the world to us that we're able to do so much good right now because of your generosity and because of your faithfulness in giving. So let me just say from the bottom of my heart to you, thank you for your support. It's been just a breath of fresh air, such an encouragement to me to see God's word continuing to go forth, even in the midst of a global pandemic and fear on a huge scale like we've never seen in the history of our generation. God's doing great things, and I appreciate you standing behind us. If you like what you hear today, would you do me a favor? Would you click the share button at the bottom of your screen, whatever social media platform that you're watching this on? Click that share button. That would mean the world to me that you could take this gospel, the message that God is giving us today, and to share that with your friends. We think that the world needs to hear it. The word of God right now is so precious, and it's bringing life and health and hope to people that need it. So let the Lord use you today to send that out into your world. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of his word, and stand up for Jesus. Stand up for his truth. And if you like what you're hearing today, share it with your friends. We believe that God's going to do some powerful things as we get into his word today in us and through us. So 2 Peter chapter 3 is where we'll get started. I want to bring you what the Lord gave me this week. And this message is called When Fear Steals the Day. When fear steals the day, it has a way of doing that, doesn't it? Yes. Yeah, well, there's so many things that we can be afraid of right now. And if we were going to be honest, there's so much to be afraid of. We can get consumed with all the things that are going on. And the Lord is speaking, I believe, right now to those fears. He's speaking powerful words to help us, to calm us down in the middle of the storm, letting us know that he is absolutely still in charge. He's on the throne. None of this took him by surprise. And he has got you. He's got you. If you know Jesus in your heart as your own personal Lord and Savior, hey, you're going to be just fine. God has got you. And so when fear steals the day, I want to give you a few things out of 2 Peter chapter 3, because I've seen this in social media, and I've seen this with a lot of even my own friends in ministry, but there's that fear of dying, and it's kind of robbing us of our ability to live. It kind of does that, doesn't it, sometimes? There's so many things that are going on. And really what may be most alarming right now is the amount of false prophets that are coming out of the woodwork. Yeah. If you're like me, if you've been in the Christian circles a long time, you're probably getting bombarded with every prophet that has ever put out anything prophetic. And people are finding ways to twist it and turn it and speaking against coronavirus. And there's all kinds of crazy things that are going on out there. I want to just encourage you, be very careful when you're watching that stuff. Be very careful when you're led astray by what people are saying. Always be able to go back to God's word. If you don't know this word, you're going to be led astray by it. And it's a powerful underlying theme throughout the entire New Testament is false prophecy, false gospel, fear tactics from the enemy. And God is using this time to bring hope to his people, not more fear. That's not what we need. And so there's lots of false prophets that are just pushing God's people into a supernatural state of panic. And it's hard to watch sometimes. It bothers me a lot. And so I want to speak against that today about when fear steals the day. And even when the enemy uses Christians to propel it, fear is running rampant now. And I've found that, you know, even the fear of death, fear doesn't stop death, but it really just cheapens your life. Yeah. Have you found that to be true? It just robs your day. It steals everything from you. And I wrote down this question. Am I so concerned with the possibility of dying that I'm forgetting to live today? That's good. So fear doesn't remove tomorrow's troubles, but it robs today of its peace. And I'm here to bring you some peace today as we get into the truth of God's word. So 2 Peter chapter 3 is an important message today, just as much as it was in the day that it was written. So Peter, many of us know the story of Peter. If you're new to the Bible, maybe you don't know much about Peter, but Peter, his life was, maybe the best two words to describe him was consistently inconsistent. Okay. And if anybody knew about fear, it was Peter. So this guy goes from having amazing days to horrible days. There are times where he has incredible faith and he gets out of a boat and walks on water. And then there's times where he is walking back to the water to go fishing because he has turned his back on Jesus. He goes from denying Christ to preaching one of the most amazing messages that the world had ever seen, watching 3,000 people get saved. He's consistently inconsistent. And we see someone that has given into his fears time and time and time again, and it's cost him a lot. But I love the story of Peter because it doesn't just end with his fears and it doesn't end with his great feats but shows us his failures, but it really goes back to Jesus and how Jesus treated him. Jesus understood his fears and Jesus spoke to him, restored him when he walked away, brought him right back. And so this is at the end of Peter's life. I almost call this message famous last words because these are the last words that we ever have recorded in the Bible from Peter. And he's in his 60s now. The Holy Spirit has told him very clearly that he's about to go home. He's about to go home this is the end of his life. And so he writes down this message, 2 Peter. He writes down three powerful chapters. And I love that in these chapters, you hear very, very little about him knowing that he's going to die. He says, hey, I'm about to put aside this skin. I'm going home to be with Jesus. And that's about all he says about himself. The rest of it is to encourage the church. And by the way, when he's writing this, this is right at the time where the Emperor Nero has watched Rome burn and has blamed Christians for it. So we're living in a very, very precarious time in this part of history. Rome has burnt, Nero blames Christians, and so they start punishing Christians, persecuting them. I mean, they're burning them. They're doing horrible, horrible things to Christians. And of course, what's happening when Christians see the way that they're being hated, they start giving into that fear. It's obviously very fearful times. You're watching your family get slaughtered. You're watching horrible things happen. Fear is rampant. And so Peter writes these words at the end of his own life. He starts thinking about other people. He writes words to encourage them during the midst of the darkest time that they'd ever seen. Paul does the same thing in 2 Thessalonians. He writes to a group of Christians that are walking through some horrible days. And by the way, these are some of the worst days that you've probably ever experienced. I get it. But this is not the end. And he tries to encourage them, look, this is not the end. As a matter of fact, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul tells them, look, he's explaining to them that they've fallen to this false narrative. Fear has led them to get into some error. History tells us and the Word tells us as well that they had mistakenly believed that maybe they missed the rapture and that the Great Tribulation was already happening. And this was the punishment. God's judgment was falling on everybody because here now he's the God of wrath. And Paul's like, wait a minute, no. This is not God's judgment. You're having horrible times. I get it. But that's not God's judgment. Yeah. And I want to make sure that we understand that as Christians today, that what we're living in right now is not the Great Tribulation. This is not as bad as it's going to get. This is not the judgment, the wrath of God coming down upon the world. Trust me, when the wrath of God comes, you'll know it. This is not the end. This is not how it ends. You're having to wear a mask. This is not God's judgment upon you. And think about that for just a moment, because I believe it was Billy Graham that said, if you think this is the judgment of God, then God has to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's judgment. This is not God's judgment. A 99.9% survival rate of a virus is not God's judgment. Please. It's going to get a lot worse than that. So stop giving into the fear. Stop giving into the false prophets that are telling you you're in the middle of the Great Tribulation. No, you're not. There's several things that have to happen, and we're not there yet. But by the way, when Jesus was asked about the end times, he says this in the book of Matthew in chapter 24. He says, all these are the beginning of birth pains. The beginning of birth pains. We call that, by the way, Braxton Hicks. If you guys have ever had an experience where you've had a child. Braxton Hicks comes in the second or third trimester, and in case you don't know, and those are false contractions. But that doesn't mean that they're not contractions, but they're not quite the time that you think they are. They'll send you into a panic, making you think, okay, the baby's coming and it's way too early. Oh, no. That's exactly where we are. We're in the middle of Braxton Hicks. These are the beginning of birth pains. As a matter of fact, when I was thinking of it and reading through this in 2 Peter, what came to my mind was movies. And some of you are old enough to remember when we could actually sit in a movie theater. Do you remember that far back? Movie theaters, that used to be a thing. You mean we didn't just sit at home and watch Netflix? No, there was actually a time where we could sit in a group of people and see a huge screen and watch a movie. But, you know, one of the things that happens before movies is previews. And generally, whatever kind of movie that you're going to see, they're going to give you previews that are along the same genre. And so if it's a family movie, you'll see some family previews. Cartoons, you'll see a cartoon preview, just something that they know they're dealing with the right audience. And this is kind of where we are. God's given us previews of what's happening. It's a warning sign. He's telling us, hey, this is the beginning of birth pains. It's coming. There is a deadline on this earth. It's coming to an end, and it's not going to be pretty. But the good news is, according to God's character, and according to God's plan, according to God's word, we're not going to be here. We're not going to be here. As a matter of fact, 2 Thessalonians says, so encourage people with this. You don't encourage people that are about to walk through nuclear war or whatever it's going to be. That's not for us. And much of 2 Peter is written to dispel the fears of people that thought this was the end. Is it bad? Yes. Is it the end? No. It's not the end. So, as we're getting into 2 Peter chapter 3, I just want to read the, let's just read the last couple of verses of chapter 3. These are Peter's last words. He's comforting people that are walking through some tough days. And he says this, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. And by the way, this is not losing your salvation. I don't believe that your salvation is up to you. But he says, I want to make sure that you don't get carried away by the error of the lawless. And he's speaking about false prophecy, people that are pushing fear and telling them that this is the end and you've missed it and this is God's judgment. He said, don't fall prey to that. As a matter of fact, the words that he used there when he says be carried away is the Greek word plane, which means to wander or to stray from the truth. And when he says the lawless, what he's using there is the Greek word athesmos, which means people who have their lives out of order. And generally, a false prophet is someone that has their life out of order, where God's not on the throne, God's not in first place, but it's self. It's prophecy done to promote me instead of to promote the truth of God's word. That's someone who has an out-of-order life. And he says, hey, don't fall prey to that. Don't fall prey. It's going to be really easy to fall from your secure position. What is our secure position? It's our intimacy with God. It's our standing where we believe that God is against us. He's some judge up there waiting to pound his gavel at our disobedience. No. That's not what you want to hear. That's not the message that he wants us to hear from his word. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, but grow in grace. And those three words are the words that God gave me specifically for you. He wants you, instead of being carried away by fear, he wants you to grow in grace. Grow in grace, he says, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever, to the day of eternity. Amen. Powerful words. And so I want to give you four ways to combat the spirit of fear, four ways to attack when fear steals the day. And I think it will help you as we walk through some of our trying times. So the first thing I want to show you is how to keep fear from stealing the day. The first one is this, is to focus on others. And I love that the entire book of 2 Peter is focused on others. It would be easy for 2 Peter to be written as a memoir of all the things that I haven't done or the things that I still have yet to do or my regrets or my worries. And a lot of times when you're with someone at the end of their life, they talk about themselves. They talk about the things that they're afraid of. They talk about missing their family. But instead, Peter, he focuses on others. You know, in this culture of fear that we're living in the COVID culture, whatever that is, maybe I just made that term up. I'm not sure if I made that up or not. But copyright right now. Not to be used without the express written consent of Tim Ingram and Major League Baseball. In the middle of coronavirus culture, we get really focused on me. It's about me and what I need to protect myself. Peter goes the opposite way. He wants to help others. And I love that about his heart. Someone that was so flawed, someone that knew what it meant to be afraid, he focuses on helping somebody else. You know, when our future is secure, and by the way, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your future is secure. When our future is secure, we need to help others. When we used to get on airplanes, remember that? We used to get on airplanes and travel from one place to the next. One of the things that you'll notice is that as soon as you get on a plane and sit down, they talk to the morons and they tell you how to buckle a seatbelt. And if you don't know how to do that, like, you probably shouldn't be on a plane. But then they tell you where the exits are. And then they say, should our cabin lose pressure, masks are going to fall from the ceiling and What's the thing that they tell you to do? First, secure yours, and then help the people around you, right? And this is exactly, I feel like, what Peter is saying. Hey, you've got your future secure. Now help somebody else.
Yes. Yeah.
Good.
Help somebody else.
Yes. Good.
And so my question today is, you know, what's your message, and are you concerned about anybody else, or is it just you? You know, when Noah was getting ready to walk on the ark, he was preaching. Hey, it's coming. The end is near. Get in this boat. And nobody wanted to listen. Many times the prophets would preach and preach and preach and beg people to turn. They didn't want to listen until it was too late. Let me just tell you, it's not too late to find Jesus. I worry about people that don't know Jesus. So my call is very clear. Hey, the fields are ripe under harvest, my friends. Get people on this boat. It's not going to last. Everything that you see, it's not going to be here forever. So let's help people. Get back on mission. Stop focusing on just yourself. Focus on somebody else. And he says, hey, dear friends, let me encourage you with these things. Let me show you the truth. Let me tell you how to prepare for the end. Focus on others. That flies in the face of a lot of false prophecy, because normally it's about me and what God showed me. Let's turn that around and let's help people. What's your message? Is it just about you? Or is it about somebody else? You know, even Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. His focus was on others to the very end. You know, one of the misconceptions in Christianity is that the opposite of fear is faith. And we say that a lot. And certainly there are some parallels that we can draw. But in 1 John, the word makes it clear that it says perfect love casts out fear. The opposite of fear is not faith, it's love. Love. And God's word is clear that he so loved the world that he gave his only son. Even God has an outward focus. He loves the world. So Christian, follower of Jesus, let me just appeal to you for a moment to get your eyes off yourself and off of your own fears and focus on helping somebody else. Our world is hurting. They're full of fear. They have nowhere to turn. You have the answers. It's written right here. Use it. This is what you have been training for. It's what you were born to do.
That's right.
This is the reason why you're still here. Focus on others. The second thing he tells us to do in 2 Peter chapter 3 is to grow in grace. To grow in grace. When I heard those words, I'm like, well, I've always kind of thought of grace as being this one-time event. You know, you repent, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and God gives you grace. He covers your sins. But really, grace is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of decisions where we fall deeper and deeper in love with the beautiful story of what God's doing in our lives. The beautiful power of the cross. Growing in grace is called spiritual maturity. And one of the reasons why many Christians still fall for a lot of false prophecy is because we're just not spiritually mature. And I want that to sink in for a second, because all of us would say, oh, that's not me. I'm spiritually mature. How would you know? Really? How would you know? This American version of Christianity has sold people a lot of lies. That you don't have to read this Bible, that some preacher on a screen will tell you what to believe. Yeah. Let me just tell you today, if you're looking to me as your only source for wisdom, you're going to be sold short. I'm not that smart, but I know where it comes from. My Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I want you to have a personal relationship with him. Don't get it from anybody else. Fall deeply, madly in love with him and grow in grace. Get to know him better. You know, we're constantly encouraged through God's word. We're constantly encouraged to keep growing, no matter what the outside circumstances are. Keep growing. That spiritual maturity. I wrote this down, and I thought this was pretty profound. It says, to grow in grace does not mean gaining more grace from God, because God's grace never increases. It's infinite. It cannot be more, and according to the nature of God, it could never be less. But he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him would be saved. How much more grace could there possibly be than that? But to grow in grace is to grow in our understanding of what Jesus did and in our appreciation of the grace that we've been given. My friend, I needed a lot of grace. My life was a mess. And for anybody that knows my story, let me just tell you, I have a lot in common with Peter. There have been times in my life where I was full of faith, full of love, growing in grace, and there's been times in my life where I'm embarrassed of denying Christ, walking away, thinking that I had it all figured out on my own. See, I have a past of addiction. I have a past that I'm embarrassed of. Things that I look back at my life, and just like Peter, I think, my God, what was I thinking? And I think if we're going to be honest with each other today, we We all have a past. But God's calling us to not be limited by or defined by it anymore, but to grow in grace, thankfulness for what He's done, to realize the power of that amazing grace. I told somebody one time that was in ministry that he had a big fall, and he was in a recovery process and coming back, and I sat down with him and talked to him for a little while. I said, you know, now when you sing the song Amazing Grace, you sing it with a different understanding, because you know what it's like to have nothing else and to be at your lowest point and find that even in those moments, God's grace is still amazing. Yeah. It reaches to the lowest pits and finds a messed up guy like me, and it redeems my life, and it can redeem yours. It redeems others. I never want to get away from the beauty of that moment where He changed my life. You know, Peter understood that. Peter understood what it was like to walk away from Jesus, and I love that Jesus restored him with grace. You know, if you've ever read the story of Peter's restoration, it happened breakfast by the sea. Peter had been fishing, and Jesus calls him and sets him down at a campfire. And I can imagine the tension would have been there, where Peter was so defeated and so sorry, so ashamed of what he had done. But Jesus makes him breakfast and asks him an amazing question. Do you love me? I could almost hear him saying it now. Do you still love me? Peter finally says, of course I do. You know all things, Jesus. You know I do. He says, then let's start with that. Feed my sheep. Get back to work. Get back to work. And I just want to speak right now to some people's lives who've been focused on a lot of fears. And Jesus is speaking right to you and say, hey, you still love me, don't you? It's time to get to work. There's a world that needs saving. There's a countdown clock, and it's coming close. Mm-hmm. Get to work. Grow in grace. The third thing that Peter tells us in this moment is to grow in knowledge. And I was intrigued by that. I was looking at the word for knowledge, and normally you'd expect to see in the Greek language the word didash, which means theology and teaching, how we would say doctrine. Grow in your doctrine, or get back into your word. That's the word that I would expect, but that's not the word that Peter uses here. He says to grow in knowledge, and the word that he uses for knowledge is the Greek word gnosko, which is very different. See, it's not theology, it's relationship, intimacy. He says, I want you to get closer to Jesus. You know, we're growing in knowledge right now. Lots of people are growing in knowledge. As a matter of fact, we have information overload. You have news and fake news and crazy news coming at you from every different angle. It's right inside your pocket. You carry it with you at all times. Lots of information is out there. But 15 times in the three short chapters of 2 Peter, he uses that word, grow in gnosko. Grow in your intimate knowledge. Get to know Jesus better. You know, I think many people right now are getting so lost in prophecy. They're getting so lost in doctrine and theology, trying to figure out how's this the judgment of Jesus and all those things. I think God is laughing because He's asking us to come closer to Him instead of knowledge. As a matter of fact, Jesus even said Himself in John 5, He says, you search the Scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to Me. They point to Me. Come closer to Me. You know, our world is screaming at you to know more, to know more, to know more, but Jesus is offering something better. He says, know Me. Know Me. Come sit at My feet. Learn from Me. We get sidetracked by all the information that's there, and Jesus is inviting us into a relationship. Sit down, have a little breakfast with Him. Love on Him, and let Him love on you. Grow in your knowledge, in your intimacy with Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and He's given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. That's my heart for each and every person watching this, that you would know Him. Know Him in your heart. And not just a one-time event, but you would grow in your relationship with Him. You'd hear His voice. You'd speak to Him. Whatever you need to say to Him, say it. Spend time with Him today. Grow in your relationship with Him. It says, this is the true God and eternal life. That's the true God. The last thing that I want to finish with today is Peter's last words when he says, to Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. And number four is this, find a way to bring God glory today.
That's good.
When fear steals the day, find a way to bring God glory, even in the midst of your fear. This was Peter's cry. This is what he wanted to do. God, even in my death, I want to bring you glory. You know, the story is told that there's some legends and some history that has been written about Peter that you can't really confirm, but he was wanting to leave Rome and get out of the persecution and, of course, try to preserve his life. And that God spoke to him and says, no, this is the end for you. Get back. And so he goes back in there facing it. And so Nero finally decides to put Peter to death. And Peter says, look, I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Would you do me a favor? Would you crucify me upside down? I want to bring God glory even in my death. I'm nowhere near like Jesus, but I'm willing to die for him. You know, he writes that in the first chapter here of 2 Peter. He writes that I'm about to lay aside this body. I get to go see Jesus. His hope was not here. His hope was on the other side of here. And so I want to just ask you, why are you so afraid? It's robbing you of your real life. It's robbing you of the moments that you have here. Lay that down. Bring God glory today. Today matters. So I'm going to set my mind. I'm going to set my heart. I'm going to set my affections. I'm going to set my schedule around glorifying God in everything that I do. I don't want to waste a day. Don't waste today. Today matters. So whatever you do, do it for the glory of God today. If you're changing a diaper, do it for the glory of God. If you're sweeping the floor, do it for the glory of God. If you're teaching a message, do it for the glory of God. Do it for His glory today. Bring Him glory in this. I want to close out with this thought. This is something I said to myself today, and I'm hoping that you'll take it and make it your own. I will not allow fear to rob me of opportunities to glorify God with my day. That's a determination that I've made. And I want to invite you to make it your determination today. Do not let fear rob you of an opportunity to bring glory to God today. Don't let fear steal another day. This is not the end. This is not how it ends. We're not in the great tribulation. You're not in the great judgment of God. You're in a special time. And God is using this to prepare us for what's coming. He's calling you to get busy. Get to work. Get the focus off yourself. Off of your fears, get back to just loving Jesus and bringing Him glory with whatever it is God has called you to do. Hope you can receive that today. I want to finish out with a prayer. And let me just ask you this. If you don't know Jesus in your heart, my friend, today it is extremely important, more important than it has ever been, that you make a decision and you secure your eternity. You may say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. I'm going to help you. I want to help you just like somebody helped me one time. So right where you are, repeat this prayer after me. I'll tell you what to say. You can pray it out loud. You can pray it in your heart. It doesn't matter. But pray this prayer with me. Invite Jesus into your heart, and I'll help you. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I invite you, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Save me. I give myself to you right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know I'm incredibly proud of you. So proud of you. I would love to connect with you. Would you do me a huge favor? Would you text me? Text the words I prayed to 94090. I would love to just hear your story and receive that encouragement. That would do a lot for me if you would let me know that you prayed that prayer and invited Christ into your heart. It matters. I want to celebrate that with you. And do me that favor. Take that step of faith and let somebody know what just happened inside of your heart. For everybody else, I want you to know this is not the end. I love you. Things are going to change. You're walking through tough days. But guess what? God is still on the throne and you're okay. You've made it. You're still here. You're not done. So get up and bring God glory with today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.